It appears to us that you're kind of going back to where it was.
Well, it's not going back to where it was because the whole state changed, but unfortunately we're the victim of circumstance in that respect. I think that unless the Democratic Party fails to meet the challenge and the aspiration of the people, and if it reverts to any type of thing it was prior to when it's going on, then I think there'll be an excellent opportunity. Otherwise, I think the hope for the Republican Party is to build it just the opposite from the way Wynn did or tried to, and of course I think he did it the right way when he came along because he capitalized on his own self as a resource. But now I think it's going to be depend upon the ability of the party to attract young people who have imagination and constructive programs and are able to fight it out there in the local level and win elections.
That's
a long process, and then of course it's more permanent if you succeed. I certainly don't want to be pessimistic about it, but and things can change dramatically and quickly, just depending upon circumstances. But locally, now, as opposed to how many people will be voting for the Republican candidate in 1976 in Arkansas, presidential candidate, it might still be a majority of people. I don't know. Although it may well be that Mr. Bumpers will be the candidate for the Democratic Party, in which case it may be that he'll get 70% or whatever he's used to getting here in Arkansas. But depending upon who the Democrats put up, it could easily still vote. It's middle of the road, kind of a somewhat conservative attitude. But that doesn't help the Republican Party of Arkansas, which is what you're talking about. And of course, as I say, it could change. If you really found some person who captured the imagination, came along and was a leader, and it might go, but I don't see it in the near future.
Does Wynn Paul fit that category?
He's really developing. I don't know anything about his ambitions, political ambitions, if any. He says he's young. I don't know, 25 or 26, something like that. And I should imagine that he would, I think he thinks this is home, and it is home, and I think he'll get himself firmly established in his business. He's working hard at it. He's learning, and I think it may be that down the line, all Rockefellers I know sooner or later get involved in some aspect of public life. Not necessarily political life, but I just don't know. I don't know. It wouldn't be in the near future, unless you know something I don't know. I wouldn't anticipate it happening soon. But it might. Well, the certain situation might change by the time he would be where he might be interested in it. And of course, he could provide that type of leadership. I think it needs both that type of person and symbol, as well as conditions and circumstances have to be right. It's difficult being a Republican in the South, as you know.
One of the things that generated apparently the conflict and controversy was his relationship with the state legislature. What was the reason for that apparent inability to get along?
Well, I think that's a complete misconception of what happened. It's just exactly the opposite. If you look at it, when he came in, I think his first term, I believe he had one Republican in the House and one in the Senate. And I believe we passed a good 90% of the legislation that was proposed.
I was referring to the second term.
Well, then in the second go-around, even then, I think you'll find, if you really compared it to the record of other governors with the legislature in terms of their program, and you've got there are a few very popular governors, and maybe Mr. Bumpers is one of them, but, I mean, he is one of them, which might be an exception, but I think you'll find that his record is as good as, better than the average Democrat governor in his second term. But see, there only been two governors in the history of Arkansas that served more than two terms. That was Jeff Davis back in the early 1900s and Faubus. Jeff served three, Faubus served six, but everybody else served two, one or two. So when he came along, and so it just, And when you're, I mean, you're still in there fighting for taxes in your second term, still in there, you know, fighting for controversial measures, it's tough. Now, Mr. Mumbers could have had a third term because his whole tenure has been marked by calm, lack of controversy, and good government, and which reflected that they were solving problems, had the means to do it, and so he could have, I'm sure, walked into a third term if he wanted to.
Question almost about the psyche of the Arkansas voter. That more or less remarkable result in 1968 of electing Wallace, Rockefeller, and Fulbright.
And Rockefeller. Well,
and has been, what? How do you, what does that mean?
Well, everybody speaks of it as evidence of the independence of the Arkansas voter, and I think it's it cannot be overlooked. I just think they do discriminate in terms of the office that the person is seeking, the policies and issues that they identify and which are associated with that office, and the directions that they expect the particular candidate to take. In other words, I think they're very much involved with personalities, but they're also involved to a certain extent with issues and philosophy. And traditionally, except until now, you've had this phenomenon. Why isn't it just as remarkable that you elect Fulbright and McClellan just constantly over the years? That's no way of explaining that except the possibility of, in that particular situation, that I think is the politics of personality. People were impressed to have people of the stature of both of them there. And after they're there for a while, they can capitalize on it, and they can beat, you know, practically anybody. Now, when you and you come along with I don't think either one of them ever faced the type of opposition that Fulbright ran into during their entire careers. So there was a lot of dissatisfaction with Fulbright and his opposition to war and the Johnson administration and so forth, but there never was anyone big enough to take him on, really.
Could that be interpreted at all as a subconscious reaction to Lyndon Johnson? You had Rockefeller, at least he was a Republican. You had George Wallace, who was, of course,
yes,
anti-Lyndon Johnson. And you had Fulbright, who was anti-Johnson.
I think Fulbright was a great beneficiary of timing. He took on Lyndon Johnson, and by the time his election came around, it was the most popular sport in America. And he had been, in effect, vindicated. And this, it was just, it was, couldn't have worked out more beautifully from his point of view by that time, like you're saying. And then there's this great populist feeling, which Fulbright represents in the South and here, and I think Wallace represented it in terms of the national issues at the time, so I think they went that way. I think, although Fulbright made a pretty good showing this last time, still, you know, what was it, 25 or 26%, so that's not much. I think that Wallace and others were hoping that he would storm in there and maybe get into the runoff and possibly defeat Pryor, in which case you'd had a Fulbright-Wallace type of orientation. It would have made a significant impact in favor of Wallace in the South. I think what actually happened here, actually, the gubernatorial race has turned down the enthusiasm for Wallace. Probably throughout the South when they saw that happen, I don't know, but at least it lost the opportunity for a real shot in the arm.
And interview with Judge Isley. No more transcription, this tape.